Bruchim Aboyim to the third lecture in a series of lectures on the commentary of the Netziv of Naftali Zvi Yehuda Berlin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on the Chumash, and which he called Ha'amad Dava. Now, in the previous shiur, the previous two shiur, we've been speaking about the Netziv's introduction, the Kidmas Ha'emek, in which Netziv outlines his procedure through which he's going to that he's going to use in his commentary.
Methodology.
Right, I would say the methodology. Right, thank you. And the Netziv, we mentioned last time, bases his methodology, or explains his methodology, based upon the fact that we see the Torah is called Shira. And the Netziv there goes on to speak about the distinction between what we call a poetry and between narrative. And we spoke about that at length. And poetry is something which a person has to understand. You know, poetry is an expression of something else, which we called in, last week we called it the Sitzenleben. In other words, the context, whether it be the cultural, sociological, psychological, historical context, which gives rise to this expression. So therefore, Shira, the Torah being defined as Shira, it cannot be only understood on the level of philology, which means meaning. But the Shira itself has to be understood as an expression of a context, of something else. That is the way we understood the Netziv. And as an example of this, I spoke about the Netziv's Pelosh, his commentary, his explanation of one of the seminal episodes in the Chumash, that is Moshe Rabbeinu's hitting on the rock, Hakos Hasela. And I spoke about that for the Netziv, the Zitzenleben, which we look for in the Chumash, is within the context of Chazal, right? And I think what we left off was that the Netziv in Bamidbar, Perichov, I think it's in the Pasuk Vav, there the Netziv describes the assembly of Klal Yisrael at the cellar, at the time when they had nothing to, there wasn't any water, and they were dying of thirst, that he likens this to the assembly of people, this Asfus Ha'am, which was the minhag of Klal Yisrael, when there was a Tzeres HaKeshamim, and there was a lack of rainfall, which is described in detail in Tainus, I think in Mishnayos in the second parak, and there we have the entire minhag that they would bring the aved outside from the from its permanent place in the shul, take the teva out into the streets, and therefore there would be a tefillah barabim, and the chacham would get up and say divrei Torah, right, divrei Musa. And the Tziv understands that the context here, that the context of Chazal, which is the Asfus Sa'am, the assembly of people, Hakola Sa'am, at the time of Tzius Keshamim, is actually the context within which we have to understand what is going on when Klal Yisrael gather right in front of the cellar, in front of the rock, during in the wilderness, in the desert. However, it's not enough just to understand the Zitzenleib in this context, right, as a way of describing it, because actually there was a very important, very monumental event. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the cellar, as he was commanded, he hits the cellar. He hits the rock. And this is a chait. And how do we understand this as a chait? And in particular, we see that previously in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to hit a rock. He does Nisim and Shemais, for example. And the Chumash didn't consider that to be a chait. So, the Netziv, like I said before, is not going to understand the Zitzenleben of Chazal just as the context of the halacha, but actually within the historical context too. And this historical context is not going to only include the Chumash, but it's actually going to be the historical context within which we understand the minhagim and the halachas of Chazal themselves. The Netziv explains at the very beginning of this, after this event, when the Jewish people are crying out that they're dying from thirst, and they're complaining, they want to go back to Eretz Mitzrayim, right? As it says in Perichof, right? in Pasakei, V'lama helisunu mimitzrayim, why did you bring us out of Egypt? You brought us to this terrible place. Umayim en lishtoy. So there's no water to drink. So the Tzim raises the question, why, I mean, what are they complaining about? Why are they complaining? In other words, they've been going for 40 years in the Midbar, they've seen all these needs, and why are they complaining? So the Tzim explains that, in fact, there's a revolution. There's a very fundamental change is taking place at this point in history.
Paradigm shift.
A shift of paradigm. I'm going to get to that. That in fact, and this revolution is really cosmological and religious. That in fact, throughout the years in the Midbar, right, the Jewish people lived based upon nace, based upon miracle, right, and the miracles actually, in other words, the existence of Klal Yisrael was contingent on nisim that were done, nisim, explicit miracles that were done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and people expected at each point when they would meet up with a hardship, that there would be a miracle, there would be a fight, that there would be an unnatural change in nature. But in fact, Slivas explains this in his Hagdam, introduction of Bamidbar, Klal Yisrael now is being weaned off miracles. They're being weaned off an unnatural existence. And now, the relationship to God would actually change, and would actually move within a much more natural setting, where in fact the emphasis would be on the man side of the God-man relationship, and man was expected within the natural realm, right, to rely upon prayer and upon Torah study and upon fast, introspection, etc., etc. So therefore, because of this, even though in Shemais Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock, because when you hit the rock, that's an ace. It's an ace. It's literally an act of magic. You hit the rock and water comes out. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to speak. Now, what is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking? He's not going to speak to the rock. He's not going to speak to the rock. It says in the Tziv, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to say Divrei Musa or Divrei Torah, as is outlined in the Gemara and Tainus. That's what he was supposed to have done. What?
That's okay.
What? So therefore, it says, right, in other words, if you look in Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Ches, Vidibata Melasela, right, Vidibata Melasela, right. So it says that it's if Ena Kavan LeShidabu Masel Vitzavu Sotein Mayim. It's not. In other words, we're not speaking. They're not going to speak to the rock and say to the rock, "Give us water." That's ridiculous. Don't speak to a rock. I mean, if it's an ace, it's one thing, but it's not going to be an ace. Right. But he says Peirush Dibatim Dva Halacha O Perak Echad, and then he brings. Right, then he brings, in fact, actually, and he goes on, this is in Diba Maschil, the Dibata Belasela, in the Amad Dava, V'rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Hashem Moshe V'Aaron Yilamdu Sa'am Hech Yashul Adoyres Be'ot Yisrael. He wanted the Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron should teach Klal Yisrael how they would do when they came to El Yisrael, which is the Mishnayas, right, which is the Mishmais and Tainus, that the Chochum, and he quotes the Goran Tainus, actually, Daf Yudah Ben Aleph, right, then speaks about that they would say Halacha and Musa, right, etc., etc. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron was supposed to be would direct Klal Yisrael in the minhag which is directed within Chazal. That's how the Tziv understands it, right? And the Tziv understands that, in fact, actually, this would be a Hakolas Ha'am, which is described in Chazal, Maseches Tainus. So, what is it that Tziv saying over here? In order to understand the Chumash, we have to understand, number one, the historical setting, and number two, the historical setting in light of the emergence of the Hanhag of Chazal. Here we have the emergence of the Hanhag of Chazal. In other words, without Chazal, and without the more general ancient historical setting, it's unable to understand everything that's being said in the Chumash. That's what the Tziv is saying. Now, very, very interesting enough is that you could actually take this from the other end too. Because if you really examine, this is, in other words, this is Neufach Midali. In other words, this is my own two cents. But I understand that the Tziv is giving us incredible insight into really Chazal themselves. Because if we look at the Hanhaga of Chazal and the Tainus, where they take the Teva and they bring it out of the shul and they place it on the street and it's Divrei Teva, in fact, how do we understand this minhag? So I understand the minhag is that within the shul, one can understand within the shul, that's a, like a divine setting. And that's a, what's called, say, an unnatural setting. Or it's a setting where one would expect more hashkacha. In other words, all of the normal and set religious elements are in place. Right? Mikdash ma'at. Once you go out of the shul, already you're subject to the laws of teva. You're in the street. So in other words, the entire hanhagas hatayis of Chazal has to be understood in the context of actually the Chumash, where in fact the Jewish people now are being forced less to rely upon what's called nes and miracle, but rather the religious operative is to fast, this tainis, this tefillah, this divrei Torah. In other words, the Jewish people are being forced, or the nation is being forced to actually introspect to b'chayz the b'tshuva, to mechazik themselves. And as a result of that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring about, right, rain, and bring about prosperity. So in other words, what the Nitziv is using the Chumash as the context through which we can understand not only its own Zitzin Leben, but actually the Leben of Chazal themselves. And in fact, this is a very important, it comes out that since the Nitziv's Perish is being historicist in a certain sense, right, then in fact, this is a very important technique of the Nitziv, which I think really distinguishes him from other commentaries, is that he understands very, very thoroughly that there are changes that are taking place along the course of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So, for example, yeah.
When you use the historicist,
within historical context. In other words, the Chumash has to be understood within historical context, but not, in other words, when I say historical context.
Okay, what's the alternative?
No, the alternative means that the Chumash is type of a flat land, and all we have are Shtiklach Torah. Mm-hmm. We don't understand that there's actually a change of paradigm. There's actually a historical change that's taking place at this moment. In other words, when people look at the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, even though they know the Klal Yisrael about Mitzrayim, but no one thinks of Bamidbar as actually expressing a very important historical change, that the situation, the historical context of Klal Yisrael in Devarim is not at all similar to the historical context of Klal Yisrael at the time of Shmoyz. It's, in other words, that actually there are different, there's a cultural, different cultural setting, and therefore there's a different relationship with God, and therefore, in fact, the entire context of religious observance and man's relationship to God and the cosmos is entirely different. Yeah.
In other words, the alternative would be flat.
Flatland. In other words,
the Chumash is the term takes a word here and a word here.
Right. There's nothing behind the text. There's no cultural context behind the text.
And a pasuk and shemais is the same as a pasuk.
Right. In other words, if I look at the text, I don't understand. There's no underlying historical,
right,
historical setting behind the text. Or I have a text and I have meaning that emerges from the text. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, before I understand the text, I first have to understand the historical setting, and only on the basis of that can I understand the text.
Everyone says that, like, for example, Bereshis, but Kodem Matan Torah, Ramban, not everyone, Ramban, for example, says there's a difference before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah.
But that's only a halachic difference. That might be a halachic difference. Otherwise, it might be the before Matan Torah, for example, they didn't have halachas, this and that. For example, the Ramban will speak about Yibum.
Right.
Okay, but that's a different issue. But I don't think that anyone, for example, is going to say that in fact that here we have actually an entire change of the halichas oilim of Klal Yisrael. I think this is really the Nitziv. Mm-hmm. Even Tzadik will say that, you know, the first Abichum Shetar is Tarash Rechsav and Tarash Rechsav. That's all on the level of Drush, mm-hmm, on hermeneutics.
Yeah.
Here the Nitziv is creating actually a saying that actually this is a historical setting. Even the Rambam and Ma'ir Nevuchim in the Tamiya Mitzvah learns that Klal Yisrael are being weaned off paganism, but it's not a historical context from the Chumash itself.
Right.
It's merely a halacha kept to form what's called the Tamiya Mitzvah. But the Nitziv actually, in fact, details what takes place in Bamidbar. He almost even actually wants to claim that Bamidbar is actually composed of separate Chumashim. I should call Chumashim separate books, as the Gemara speaks about them, called Kisvei.
Yeah.
And in fact, he brings a Chazal that says, in the Hagdama to Bamidbar. So then the Siv actually brings a Chazal, right? It brings that there's a Shinoi that takes place in Pashas Chukuz. There's a Shinoi Hischil, Oidim Bamidbar, right? Ah, So he says, "Mishum ikazah sefer." The main point of Bamidbar, who are machlit umishal likas am Hashem. The Jewish people are changing. There's a changing, right? And the setting, in the Jewish people setting in the world, b'chayilim, right? Mi'az yigil el Yisrael, min aderash holu b'midbar. For the time of the midbar, they were in the midbar in the desert. Shem midbar hayu misnagim b'midas tef erish liman Moshe l'mayla me'alichas hateva. Now, the midbar, they're living a life based upon this, based upon miracle. Uba el Yisrael holu b'del hateva. B'sisri hashkach. Hashkach would be hidden. They will live within a natural setting. And he says, "V'zah shino yischil oydim b'midbar b'shnas haboyim." This change took place in the 40th year. K'mo shebi'al with Parshas Chukas. Now we're in Parshas Chukas, chapter 20, verse 5, right? "V'zah shino," right? And this is a change. And then he brings an incredible chazal, right? According to the Tziv, it's kol ha-teratula. Bereshis rabba perek gimel. V'yad elokim ben or ben achoyshek. Zeh sefer b'midbar. How do you like that? So Nesiv understands that the Chumash is not a hermeneutical flatland, but rather the Chumash is detailing an entire history of a people whose context, cosmological and therefore religious context, right, is in fact undergoing a fundamental change from one in which people live in a world of miracle to a context in which people live in a natural setting and where the focus is on individual devotion through tefillah and through limud Torah. That's what the Nesiv is coming to say. So in other words, based upon this evolution, this cultural and cosmological and therefore religious evolution, within this context one has to understand what takes place in the Chumash. And this is, my opinion, very, very uniquely, is unique to the Nesiv's commentary on the Chumash. Now what's very, very interesting is that the Nesiv mentions early in Kidmas HaEmek is that we have to understand, Nesiv says explicitly, we have to understand that a commentary in the Chumash is like science, the act of scientific observation. As if it says that we make laws, we make rules, scientific laws.
Is this scientific or literary analysis?
He says the commentary in the Chumash, the Chumash is likened, the Chumash is likened to the world, mm-hmm. And the commentary is like the commentary in the Chumash, understanding the Chumash, is likened to scientific understanding of the world. That's what As if says. As if says that even though a person might see certain anomalies in nature, I might understand that these are complete anomalies which are not natural. Eventually, in history, through greater scientific analysis, well, a person will in fact actually understand these things scientifically, as the Nesiv says. Could possibly be is that, you know, in a certain type of a life-imitating art, the Nesiv is actually alluding to that here too. That in other words, as throughout history, there's a natural process by which more is understood from the natural aspect of nature. In other words, this evolution from the Midbar to El Tzisrael, where Klaus will undergo a very radical change of paradigm from a life, l'mayla min ha-teva, to a life within teva, is also to be understood in the general context of human history, where man's scientific understanding makes less of nature, which you would call l'mayla min ha-teva. There's less nais and much more things that are understood in science. And in virtue of that, man's relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, changes as a result. The focus is, and actually, so the Tziv's commentary, and Tziv applies this to his commentary, that there are things in the Chumash that perhaps we don't understand in previous generations, and that through continued analysis, we begin to understand more of the grammar and more an understanding of the Chumash itself. So in other words, that's what the Tziv says in the Skid Masa Emek. In other words, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that life imitates art. And the Tziv understands that as throughout history, our commentary in the Chumash is able to understand things that perhaps we didn't understand in previous generations. And it could possibly that the Tziv is actually declaring here, I'm saying this, the Tziv is not, but I'm saying this, that I'm a 20th century, or I am a 19th century commentator. I'm a modern commentator. And because of that, since in the 19th century, could possibly be that the historical analysis of past events, of ancient events, right, became a greater tool, which was wielded by scholars. So too the Nitziv says, and in fact, actually, there were important revolutions that took place within science too, even within the Nitziv's lifetime. So too the Nitziv says in his commentary that in fact, the more we understand about the nature of events, the historical context within which the Chumash was written, the more we can appreciate the Shira aspect, the poetry aspect of Chumash expressing those events. That's what I want to say in the Nitziv. So in other words, the Nitziv is providing, which I think is very, very unique as a commentary on the Chumash, a commentator on the Chumash. And moreover, right, in the history of Parshanut, of commentary, namely is that an appreciation and an understanding of the Zitzin Leben of the Chumash. Of course, all of this is related to Chazal, because Chazal, in fact, themselves, right, are those who are transmitting this historical tradition, right, to us. That within this historical context, guided by the understanding of Chazal, we could better understand the Chumash is expressing, right, the ideas and the Devar Hashem within that context. As you have a question. Okay, fine. Anyway, so this is in fact what the Chumash is saying. Now, what's interesting is that the Nitziv uses this technique in quite a number of places, in fact, an untold number of places. We're going to go into the detail, but this is what's called Shira. So let's go back again. Why is Shira different from prosa, from prose? The answer is very clear. When a person looks for meaning, meaning will only be communicated to the reader. In other words, if I look at Psukim and I say, what does Psukim mean? I'm not going to try to understand it. How did the Chumash understand the meaning? How did the people at the time of the Chumash understand the meaning? How is that meaning understood within the historical context? Meaning is always from the standpoint of the reader. I'm going to say, what does this meaning mean for me? What does this mean for me? In other words, when a person engages in philology, the meaning of a text, the meaning of the text is always going to be exclusively within the context of the reader.
Is that not contradict?
No, once again. I want you let's try to understand what I'm saying.
Shira?
What, no, not Shira.
Prose.
Prose, which is, which we spoke about Robert Alter, was philology, meaning. Why is meaning not Shira? That's what we spoke about last time. Why is meaning not Shira? Because when a person asks a question, what does this text mean? What he really intends to say is, what does it mean for me? So, for example, if a person reads the Chumash and says, what is the message that's being conveyed to me? What is the meaning? He's going to take meaning in terms of the world in which he lives in. In other words,
in prose as opposed to
right, as opposed to Shira. In other words, in prose, I want to have something that's relevant for me, that's nagaya to me. So, for example, if most people give a shirun chumash, if they're going to try to explain to an audience what does this pasuk mean, they're going to bring a metaphor, a dugma from the world around them. No one's going to bring a dugma from 2,000 years ago. Just hear what I'm saying. Masha Enkei, what is poetry? Poetry means the reader has to place himself within a different context, within the context within which the text was produced. What's the problem?
When I read Lahavta, when I read Wuthering Heights,
right,
I've got to put myself into
that's a modern literary
prose. I've got to put myself into
No. Once again, you're confused. When the Nitziv says, even though there are things which are prose, the Nitziv says Shira. Shira, I think, would be literary. In other words, the Nitziv would call Wuthering Heights Shira. In other words, you're confusing English literature with the Nitziv. The Shira doesn't mean, because the Chumash is not written on Shira. Let's hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Torah is essentially not written. There's only Shira Sayyam. There are only certain things which are Shira in the Torah. Right. When the Nitziv says poetry, as opposed to prose, he doesn't mean in the form that you're thinking.
No.
What he means is that poetry means, in order to understand this piece of literature, this text, I had to put myself in the context of where the text was produced. That's what we spoke about last time.
That's poetry.
Prose, which is narrative, as opposed to poetry, means, so therefore the meaning is not clear. I can't garner the meaning from the words themselves. I have to place myself within the context. That's poetry. That's Shira. I think you have to go back to sleep.
Yeah,
in other words, let's just hear what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. What Shira?
Sorry,
Shira means in Letziv, in order to understand the text, I have to place myself within the context within which the text was produced.
Yes.
So if I read Wuthering Heights,
mm-hmm.
what was that, the 18th century?
Mm-hmm.
I have to place myself within the 18th century. The Letziv would call that Shira.
When I read a modern poem...
Well, let me go further. When prose means... When I read a text, I don't think of the text as being produced in a different context. I think of the text communicating to me directly within my context. That's what the Tzitz calls prose.
But that's what modern people call poetry. That's why I'm getting confused. Okay, fine. Say it. Sorry.
So, if I look at the Chumash, what the traditional Mefarshim of the Chumash, trying to understand the Chumash is, what does the Chumash mean for me in my context, in the context of the reader, in the 21st century? Tav Shinayin Dalet. Not what did the Chumash mean in the context when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, or when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. That's prose. The Netziv says, poetry, Shira, is, I have to understand the Chumash within the context of when they left Mitzrayim, when they were in the Midbar. That's called poetry, that's called Shira. That's what I explained in the last year. So therefore, if I want to understand the chait of Akas HaSela, I can't construe a whole pilpa, what was the Havamina of Moshe Beina, what was the Teretz. That's not the way I understand it. I have to understand it is, what was the historical context within which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to speak and not to hit the Sela, right? That historical context also has to be understood within the historical context of Chazal, who are transmitting that historical context through the Tega Shebe'al Peh. And only then can I understand the Chumash. That's called Shira, that's called poetry, as opposed to prose. Even though prose in modern literary criticism is understood like that, but we're not translating literary terms.
That's okay.
Right. You understand? Shira for the Tziv means the reader placing himself within the historic, within the text, of the text, mm-hmm. as opposed to philology, where the reader imposed the text upon his own lifestyle, his own context. So therefore, a popular commentary in the Chumash makes things relevant. People want things to be negated to their lives. What am I interested in? What does that have to do for me? What does it mean for me? That is 99% of biblical commentary, of parshanut, right? The Netziv is writing a commentary, bringing us a commentary, which I have to place myself within the context of the Chumash itself. And that's here the fundamental basis and the methodology, and right, within which the Netziv wrote his commentary on Megdova. The important thing is that just like the scientist cannot understand nature as it applies to him, but has to actually do experiments to try to understand the logic of nature, to the point that in the 20th century, the laws of quantum mechanics and relativity contradict our Sitzenleben, the way we understand it, you know, from our point of view. One has to somehow go beyond what's called normally sensory experience and try to understand a world which is ununderstandable. I mean, I ain't the Einstein-Bohr exchange. So therefore, too, in the case here, a person has to somehow leave his context and understand it with a totally different context. That's what makes it a very modern commentary. I'm forced to actually place myself within a historicist framework. That's the Netziv's commentary. So in other words, this is the important idea that emerges from the Tziv definition of Shira. It's not poetry and prose. I mean, James Joyce wrote prose, but you can't understand pshat in James Joyce, certainly not in Finnegan's Wake. Right? The Tziv would call Joyce poetry. That's called Shira. Right? Okay, fine. So, in other words, this here is what's interesting is that modern quote-unquote commentary understands this to be the Zitzin label in the text. This is a modern idea. I think it originates, you know, quite late in history, maybe the 19th century, like 20th century. And there are other examples in which actually the Netziv actually uses this form of historicist techniques in his commentary too. So very, very simply, for example, in the volume, we have the Shema Yisrael, right? In the volume, we have the Shema Yisrael, and there, right in the volume, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha. So the Netziv in Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, in Shema Yisrael. So the Netziv raises a question. It says, "Diktek Aramban Diktek, Amay Shina Loshen Azeh Pasuk Dechziv B'Medabim." Right? Yoisim Mikola Pasha Shimbaba Yoisim Mikola Pasha Midba Benoichach. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking second person to Klai Yisrael, and all of a sudden comes to Shema Yisrael. There's a change in the language. It's not bad, right? So the Tzibah stands. This is what you would call. I think form criticism. The Tzibah that Shema Yisrael was a tefillah according to Chazal from Yankov Avinu, right? The Psachim Daf Nun Gimel. The Am Yisrael said the Klirah. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chumash, he incorporated the Shema Yisrael of Avos within the Vavim. This is what modern critics would call form criticism, or I think maybe redaction criticism. In other words, where the text is actually also redacting previous texts. Or, so in other words, says the Netziv, what's happening is that this Shema Yisrael was from the time of Yankovino, right? An ancient declaration. And Moshe Rabbeinu took the Shema Yisrael and incorporated within the volume in which he's speaking to the Klal Yisrael. So if I would take something that you said and incorporate it and speak to an audience. So the Netziv, once again, right, I think it's called form criticism. Okay, whatever it is. What the Netziv is doing is that I have to understand that problems, quote-unquote problems, or difficulties, kashas, in the text of the Chumash, which are raised by the Rishayim, the Rabban raises crime, can be understood with a historical analysis that if I'm incorporating another text or tradition within the text, so naturally there's going to be a change in the person, right? In the, you know, the person speaking. And that's how the Netziv actually applies this historicist, right, methodology in actually answering kashas of the Rishayim, right? I'm not clear that, I'm sure that, I don't know if anyone ever thought of that, so, you know, it's only from the time of the Ramban. So, in other words, what we see over here is that that's what's called Shira. Shira means there is no meaning that pops out. A person has to actually understand thoroughly the historical context of the Chumash with Chazal as his guide. And only by understanding that, a person can understand the historical context of the Chumash and also conversely, the historical context of Chazal, where Chazal are actually emerging. But that's really the Netziv's very important, what's unique about the Netziv's commentary. Okay, in Mitzvah Shem, we will continue next time from a undisclosed location in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Everybody be well.